Hey everybody, Mike Linville here from Black Dog Marketing, and welcome to this installment of Building a Six-Figure Pet Business, an expert interview series on what it really takes to grow and build a six or a seven-figure pet business. Now, we've got experts from every corner of the pet industry, from retail and blogging to services and everything in between. Now, I'm really excited about today's guest, and I know that you will be too. Misty Getchess competes on a national level for creative grooming and breed profile. She's been featured on American and French news broadcasts. She's also been on Inside Edition, The List, and the front page of the Wall Street Journal online. Misty and her colored dogs have been in a few local commercials for the Pet Expo and Pet Palace. She also teaches at the Columbus Pet Expo. She is also the face of the Save Your Fur ad campaign in Groomer to Groomer. She's been featured in an ad for Double K in Groomer to Groomer and Grooming Business for winning second in their Rags to Riches contest in 2013. Now, Misty started at PetSmart as a dog trainer and after 2 years started grooming back in 2005. She then went to run the grooming program at Pet Palace where she worked all three locations and established their grooming business. Misty opened her very successful grooming shop, Designer Paws Salon, back in 2013. She is the founder and president of Groomer for Groomer Fund, an organization that helps groomers in need by taking donations of items and auction them off to help groomers. She's attended Nash Academy for specialized dog grooming training and continues to take continuing education classes throughout the year. She also teaches other groomers in both group and one-on-one settings. Please contact her if you're interested. Now, Misty, thank you very much for coming in. I think the one thing that I think is really important is, you know, we haven't actually known each other that long. But when we were doing the similar series, probably as maybe like 4 or 5 months ago, we did the series on hiring. We were introduced and I just was so impressed. And you had such a huge response from your participation in that, that we were like, we've got to have her back. So thank you very much. I really appreciate you making some extra time.
Well, thanks for asking me, Mike. Thanks.
Yeah, no problems. And I know that we have, what was it? Sir Arthur?
Yeah, we have King Arthur.
King Arthur, the three-legged cat. I love him. I remember he was there last time, too. We could see him walking around behind you and kind of rubbing up on the screen and stuff. No, that's great. Luckily, I gave my dog some Kong so they would be quiet for this interview. So we're pretty good. But again, thank you very much. I really appreciate you making time. I know that you guys are super busy. I've seen all the posts and all the hiring stuff that you guys are getting ready to do, and it's not even your crazy season. So again, I appreciate that. So before we get into the nuts and bolts, I know that your business itself was you know, pretty successful right out of the gate. I mean, you guys started off and you did a lot of things right, but you're also in an industry where there's a whole lot of people that are having a hard time, you know, kind of cracking that six figure or that seven figure market. So just if you can give me just a little bit of background about you, about your business and kind of why it is that you are here today.
Well, I started planning this way back when. I knew I wanted to always have a business when I was 19. Mm-hmm. So I started there. I wasn't in the grooming industry then, but I knew when I was 19 years old I wanted to have a business. So I had to set out and find out what that business was. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought it was a Subway because that was kind of my big, real, full-time job that I worked 80 hours a week at. And I was like, oh, I could totally do this. And I was like, I like service, but Subway wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. I went from Subway to PetSmart. And I was like, oh, this is more up my alley because it has to do with dogs. I started off as a trainer there. Really loved doing that. Bounced around a couple different PetSmarts because I moved from Virginia to Ohio. Mm-hmm. And fell in love with grooming. And I wanted to learn as much as I could. I went through the academy, was there for 6 years. I wanted something a little bit more challenging, wanted to be able to run more stuff, so I went to the Pet Palace. I revamped their entire grooming program, redid all of their pricing, helped to hire and get rid of a couple groomers, and really learned how to manage that way. If you can manage on someone else's dime, it's a lot easier. Then of course doing it yourself. I mean, you can still do it yourself and you're going to make mistakes and you just learn from them. If you don't learn from them, then you're not going to be able to grow. And that's the biggest thing is take risks with your business and make sure you watch it closely because you can pretty much see the trends. If you are actually watching it, You can most definitely make quick changes when things either going south or something's going really good and you're like, oh, I need to continue doing this or I need to ramp this up a little bit more. So that's going to be the biggest thing is just listening to your actual business that you have.
Yeah, that's great. Now, one of the things that's really interesting, I thought, that you just said was you knew at 19 that you wanted to be a business owner. Like you knew this was going to be your path. And then you kind of came across dogs. So when you first started your own business, so when you first started Designer Paws, did you go into it just because you knew, okay, I want to have a business and I know that I want to work with dogs? It's like a kind of a passion type of a thing. Or did you go into it knowing this is a business where I need to make X amount of money and move it from there?
Both.
Oh, really?
It's actually both. I went in with a level head as far as being a business owner. Mm-hmm. As a business owner, you don't want to kill yourself. You don't want to be going in there. And I still do that. I still go in and I work my long hours and I try to grow the business as fast as possible because I know that I have the drive to do it. I'm not going to necessarily put that on my employees and say, well, you have to do 15 dogs. That's me. Mm-hmm. I'll go in there and do the 15 dogs. I'll have you do your 8 to 10 or whatnot. And I'll make sure that we have that revenue coming in so we can buy the more equipment and doing this and that. And then when we don't need me to do that many, I'll scale back.
Right.
So I go in saying, I know my numbers. I know I need to do X amount of dollars to make sure that I cover my expenses, the rent, the utilities, the employment, taxes and whatnot, and the employees, and then also having money over to do fun things like advertise or sponsor certain things to get our names out there. So I do know that I need to have X amount in order to run my business. But I also have the passion, too. I absolutely love doing what I do, mm-hmm. So I actually go in there and I have fun. But there's times when I need to, hunker down and just get stuff done.
Yeah.
So it's a balance between the two. You don't want to go in just saying, well, this is just a business, and this is how I'm going to treat my clients because it is a business, and I won't budge here and there. That's too rigid.
Yeah.
You need to be a little bit more fluid with how you run it. You want to be passionate. If you're not passionate about it, your clients will pick up on that.
Yep.
So that's a big thing of having that balance between loving what you're doing and knowing that it is a business and not a hobby. Because
mm-hmm.
that's a big thing. A lot of people go in, they're like, well, I love dogs and I love doing this. And it's the same thing when you go to hire someone. They might say, well, I love this. Well, it's like, do you want to do this forever? Do you want to do this for a couple of years, or are you just saying that you just really love playing with dogs? Because if you love playing with dogs and aren't good with your numbers, then you're not going to have a really successful, really profitable business because you also have to have that business sense.
Right, right. No, that's great. And what's interesting is you said was, you talked about being too rigid, too kind of black and white. My first business partner and I split in a bad way because he came from a Wall Street background where he was doing, investment banking, and it was very black and white and all caught up in the documentation and this and that. And I was the one that was doing all the project management at the time. So, it was really, for me, business was about relationships. And that just, sometimes that came to a head. We had some real blowouts in it. It was pretty interesting, but no, you're absolutely right. That's a great way to look at it. And to be as young as you were getting into this thing, it's a great head on your shoulders for sure. So now, we talked about this a little bit before, but at what point in time during this business did you hit your six-figure mark?
I opened in 2013. It was actually September the 25th. And exactly, to the day, 9 months later, I made $100,000.
Wow.
So, right out of the gate, I promoted my business months and years before I even opened it. I actually had the name. Me and my best friends were just goofing off one night and just thinking of different names that would be amazing for a groom shop, and we came up with Designer Paws Salon, because the designer dog and kind of play on that, and the play on because I do creative as well because it's a design on a dog. So it's a couple different things, and it means a lot of different things to me.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted something that people would immediately grab. And that's a big thing, too, is the name of your business. It can also make and break it. If people understand what you do, then they're not going to get your business. They're not going to be, looking through the phone book, some people still do that, but most people look on the web, you know, the web. Mm-hmm. But you need to get your point across very quickly. So, you know, it started years beforehand, and putting stuff out there as far as videos of how to, with my name on there, with the logo on there, doing advertisement before I even opened. Mm-hmm. And that's big. You don't wait until, oh, I've been open for 6 months and I've only had like one or two clients every day.
Right.
You want to do it beforehand, before you open, get that name out there.
That's awesome. So you were actually building the brand before you even had a shingle to hang on the door.
I was. That's, I totally was.
That's great. I love that. Okay, so now in that first 9 months before you cracked that mark, what were some of the challenges that you have? I mean, obviously, you know a lot of folks in the grooming industry. You've seen a lot of the challenges that are coming up. So what are some of the challenges that you had and that you had to kind of get over that let you grow the business that quickly and that fluidly?
Well, the biggest challenge I actually had was when I went to find a lease to get someone to pay for my build out. And people don't think about that. They think, oh, I'm just going to go open a business and, you know, the landlord's just going to take care of everything and I'm not going to have to worry about anything. That's wrong. Yeah. You have to modify a space. So I went ahead and mocked it up, had a, you know, architect come in and figure that out. But then it came time to fund it. Mm. You have no idea how difficult it's going to be about starting a business and doing that build out until you actually go through it. Because a lot of people don't want to give you money when you don't have any sales and you're brand new. So that was the biggest hurdle that I had going into the business, was just finding that. Now, I did negotiate that into my lease, and that's a big thing. If you are looking at starting your own company and haven't and you need to build that out, make sure you have a good either someone that represents you. I represented myself. I fired my person because he wasn't doing a good job. So I referred mine. I did. I totally fired him. I said, you're not doing what I need to do. We already tried to get a lease with another building, and it was falling apart. And I said, nope, I'm done. I know how to do this. I can do it myself. So I negotiated my next lease. I got them to pay for everything and roll it into my lease. So that's big right there, is if you are going to do it from scratch, see if you can't get a landlord that will roll that into your lease so you don't have this astronomical bill before you even get out of the gate. Definitely. And with that, I also negotiated that my rent does not go up the first year because they were going to tack it on. I had a 10-year lease. Mm-hmm. Tack it on that first year. And that's important, too. You want that first year to be as low as possible. Mm-hmm. So that was the first started, was just I had to have so much money to even start. Mm-hmm. So, and then I also bought equipment, you know, before, for 10 years, I bought equipment knowing that I was going to have something.
Yeah. No, and that's a great idea. And I know that's one of the things that when we look at space, and we're just basically office space, right? But I mean, even at that point in time, it's like, you know, maybe the offices aren't configured right, or maybe the conference room isn't set up right, or whatever. So, you know, anytime you go into looking into these commercial spaces, you're going to have these tenant improvements. So that's great to get that kind of wrapped up and then negotiate the fact that you can keep your costs as low as possible for the first 12 months, because that's usually when you're getting your basis set up, right? That's when you're getting your regulars coming in, and you know what those numbers are going to be. So that was genius. So now I know that obviously you're kind of the owner and you do groom, but you've also built the ship. So how much of your time right now is spent kind of guiding the ship, and then how much of your time is actually spent doing the work?
Mondays is my office day.
Okay.
I am always there Tuesday through Saturday. Sunday is my one day I get to spend with my husband. And sometimes we end up going over to the shop and doing something. But I work 6 days a week. One of those days, being Monday, would be any of my phone calls, anyone that wants to get in contact with me to sell me something. You have to make an appointment, and that's going to be on a Monday. It could easily be 2 months before you get to talk to me. So I work every day other than Sunday, so you cannot talk to me any of those days. So I'm usually grooming, I usually take care of the clients and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I do payroll either that Monday or, you know, the day that we need to do it. But other than that, I'm working. I'm grooming, you know, anywhere from 9 to 15 dogs a day.
Wow. You're just doing it. You're just hustling.
Yes, yes, I do. And a lot of those telemarketers, they don't really understand that. What do you mean the boss is working?
Yeah,
I'm a working boss. I don't just sit back and do nothing. It would be nice to eventually do that, and that's eventually going to be the goal. But right now, we're still ramping up. Our shop still isn't at full potential, and we plan on opening another location and another location after that. So we want to grow this business. So right now, I need to put my nose to the grindstone and work.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. So Mondays is your office day. So I know you just said that you do the payroll, billing and all that other kind of stuff. What kind of stuff do you outsource? I mean, do you outsource any of this stuff, or do you do it all?
We use Zen Payroll, which just turned to Gustus or Guston, or it just changed names.
Mm-hmm.
We use them. So all I have to do is take everything from my program. I use 123 Pet. So that figures out all of my commission rates and all of the sales and sales tax and whatnot. So I just have to take it out of that program and dump it into payroll. So payroll doesn't take me any time. The only thing I actually have to mail out is workman's comp. Mm. Because Ohio is different, where no one's allowed to pay for you or pretty much have a company take care of it. You have to do it yourself. And we're in the midst of changing that. So that's my big headache. That's mm-hmm. the one thing I can't automate right now and just have already paid for me. But I would highly, highly, highly suggest getting a payroll company, even if you only have like two people.
Yeah.
Because it makes paying taxes so much easier.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that we automate. We also outsource. I used to make all my bows, outsource those. I don't have time anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my go-to people that I get my holiday bows from. I still enjoy going and grabbing fabric and making bandanas. So I haven't let go of that yet, because I don't have a source that will make them for me and have really cute ones and whatnot. But eventually, I'm going to need to do that as well. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We do outsourcing of I have a lawyer. So all of my legal stuff goes through him. I have a number of legal documents that I have. I give him guidance as far as what I want, but he takes care of all of that. I have a CPA. I don't do my taxes.
Yep.
I have someone else do it. My receptionist puts all of my receipts in, so that end of the year I can just hand everything to him and I don't have to deal with it, because mm-hmm. I'm too busy.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's funny that you said, because that was one of the advice that one of my early business coaches gave me was, he says, you know, do the things that either you don't want to do or that you really don't have the ability to do. And he says CPAs, lawyers, those are people that you don't want cheap ones. You know, get good ones, because they're going to save you way more than they're ever worth. And yeah, payroll is the other thing. It was like, I'm an engineer. I love math, but I hate payroll. I mean, it's just ridiculous. That's more government than anything. It drags me insane. So that's awesome. So now I know that you guys, we were just kind of talking before we started this interview, and you guys right now, you're looking to hire more people. You guys are just crushing it right now. Are you still marketing? Even though you guys are really crazy busy, are you still marketing, or do you turn that off at times?
Currently we have Google Words turned off. We've had it turned off the last 2 months, just because I have a 3-week wait to get into my salon, and my holiday schedule is crazy. We've had it open for a month and it's almost completely booked. So Google Ads is turned off, because I can't funnel any more people new, because they don't want to wait 3 weeks.
Right.
Our Angie's List is still on, because that's a year-long commitment. So that's just reoccurring.
Got it.
But as far as really going out there and really pushing as far as advertisement to get more people to call, I have turned that off. Mm-hmm. And I always do around the holidays, because my regulars usually book out. We tell them, you need to pre-book through the end of the year. And once they find out it's a 3-week wait now when it's not the holiday,
mm-hmm.
they usually pre-book.
Yeah.
So making sure that you open your books up for those holiday seasons a couple months ahead of time, and telling people, pre-book, you really don't need to advertise, because your books are already going to fill up.
Right, right. So you're already marketing to your existing customers before it even happens, just letting them know, look, this is what's going to happen. And yeah, no, that's genius. So before I really appreciate your time again. Before I let you go, I've got one more question for you. And it's a 9-part question. No, I'm just kidding. But a lot of the people that are going to be watching this are people that are what I consider falling into one of two different classifications or categories. The first one is people that are just getting started. So for them, these conversations are really more about, here's some warnings, here's some things to look out for, here's some a path that you can go down or whatever. The other people are going to be people that have been in business for a while and are just kind of, they're just hitting this ceiling. They can't wrap their head around it. They're trying to do it all themselves. They're running at the end of their rope. They're completely stressed out. And we talk to them all the time. If you can give either one of those folks a couple or three pieces of advice, like what are the biggest things that you think helped you in that first 12 months?
Well, I waited. I wanted to open first and see if I needed to hire someone, because I was like, well, maybe I could do it myself. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks in, I was like, I need to find someone now. I can't be bathing, grooming, answering the phone, all these people walking in. Do yourself a favor and hire someone, they could be a do-it-all. You can have a receptionist, you can have the bather, and it can be the same person. You don't need to do everything yourself. My receptionist does a lot of stuff I don't want to do. You know, I'm a higher paid person because I actually have a skill. Not to say that she doesn't have a skill, but she has a different skill set. Mm-hmm. She's going to be, it's going to be easier for her to do something where I can do something that's going to make more profit for the business.
Yep.
So even at the beginning, you know, say, I don't know if I can hire someone. It will pay out at the long run when you can do more dogs, when you don't have to answer the phone all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're stuck at doing four dogs and just like, I have to answer all these phones, I have to do all this and this, it takes 2 hours out of my day. If you hire someone, you might be able to get another four dogs in, mm-hmm. which is going to bring more business in. Now, it's going to be slow. You're going to make sure that you have enough money saved up to make sure that you have enough bills for a first couple months. Mm-hmm. My husband and I always like to have bills for at least 6 months just in case something catastrophic happens. We can pay those bills. But that's going to be the biggest, mm-hmm. is hire someone soon. If you're struggling where you just can't do it all, mm-hmm. and you're working like me 6-7 days a week, hire someone to help you.
Yeah.
It's going to be the biggest thing. And then also watch. If you're doing a promotion to get people in the door, make sure that you're actually watching how that's going. Make sure that you're writing it down, what's really working, and yeah. only do one or two promotions at a time. That way that's easy to track. And that's the big thing. We did an iPad giveaway, and that was huge. Mm-hmm. It was huge. But that's our thing that we were doing. We continue on with part of it, but we are not giving out the iPad. We did two runs of that, went fantastic, but we continued on with the blueberry facials if you referred someone, but we can track that. So see what's working. See who is, and this is the big thing, if you have referrals, either from people or other businesses, make sure that you track that somehow. I always send out Cheryl's Cookies, and I will send out tons of them mm-hmm. to businesses that promote my business and send me clients.
Yep.
That's a big thank you. It might cost you $30 or $50, but it's well worth it because they are walking billboards for your business.
Mm-hmm.
That could be dog walkers, that could be vets, that can be daycare places, that could be local pet stores. Reward them. And it doesn't have to be cash. It could be, who's going to turn down a cookie? Who?
Right.
You know, who's going to turn down some sweet? You know, and that just shows that you're appreciative. And if you have someone that constantly does it, then send a couple of them. If they send, you know, 10 clients to you, then wait for the end of the year and just send a huge basket and a card that says thank you, thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to go a long way. And network. Biggest thing is networking. Network with other groomers. Play nice. There are more than enough dogs to go around. I have people that call me up and say, when's your next available? And I said, 3 weeks. And they're like, I can't wait that long. Do you know another shop? And I'm like, sure, there's one like four doors down. Let me give you their number.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Because
you know what? When they don't have someone, the aggressive dog or groom cat or whatnot, they're going to be like, hey, Misty, you can do it over there. She's a couple doors down. It's another groom shop. I have one that's behind me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just play nice.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that you know the groomers that are working there, know that the business owners as well. And if you do that, that's just going to make you better you know, you're just going to look better in the community's eyes, that you're playing nice with other business owners as well. And that those are my tidbits for
it. Yeah, you know, and that's actually really funny because that's not the first time I've heard that in this series. It's like, you know, there are a lot of folks, I think, out there that kind of look at this as a zero-sum thing. It's like either you or me and that's it. And that's just – that's not the case. That's the, you know, that's not the way at least we like to look at it. I mean, we do the same thing. People – you know, we get it, marketing, you know, sometimes people are going to like you, sometimes people aren't, they're going to like this product, but not that product or whatever. So it's like, yeah, check it out. There's all kinds of other people out there that can take care of it. So whether it's taking care of overflow or whatever. And then you also had mentioned, you know, your indirect competitors, I mean, sitters and vets and, you know, all these other places where your customers are kind of hanging out. Those are great traffic sources in order to be able to put that stuff in. That's awesome. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to, you know, we're recording this. So we'll obviously put this thing out and we're going to send this out so that everybody can kind of check it out and get the nuggets of knowledge out of here. But if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to try to get a hold of you? Maybe they're looking for a job or maybe they've got some questions, whatever the case may be.
You can grab me on Facebook, either on my actual shop's website. You can email me at Misty, M-I-S-T-Y, at designerpawsalon.com. That's with two S's. So either one of those would work. Phone calls, not a good idea.
Not going to happen.
my receptionist will screen you right out.
Believe it if they email you, right? They're going to get a call, but it could be on Monday.
Yeah, if you email me, I usually will get back to you that evening after work. But my receptionist is great at screening people out if because we get a ton of telemarketers. Mm-hmm. So if you say, hey, I'm looking for a job, she'll push you through. But a lot of times it's easier if you email me, mm-hmm. And then I usually will respond back to you that day.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll make sure that when we put these pages together that we put all that information out there so it's really easy for people to get a hold of you, track you down, do whatever it is that they need to do. Again, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm glad that your business is going so well right now. And then, you know, I'm going to touch bases with you after the end of the year, though, and see how things went.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Missy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.